Welcome to Central Coast Voices, a program addressing the ramifications of change in our communities and beyond, and how today's choices will impact tomorrow's community. This program is a collaboration with KCBX and its rotating team of program hosts. Today, your host, Lata Murdy, and her guests will discuss the Guadalupe Nipomo Dune Center, its history, stories, and events to come. We're live today, so we invite you to listen, learn, and participate in the conversation between 1 and 2. You can call in and be part of the discussion today at 805-781-3875, or after the show, you can email your questions to voices@kcbx.org. And with that, let's join Lata Murdy and her guests. Over to you, Lata.
Thank you, Brad. And welcome, Erica, Chachi, and Melanie. I am so glad to have you all in the studio with us today after my very first time visiting the Guadalupe Nipomo Dune Center this morning. And I have to say I was so impressed because it's hard to define in the best of ways, right? It's a natural history museum. It's a history museum. It's a social history museum. It's an ecological, geological, great little bookstore, high tech with its sign in and QR codes for sand from around the world. And so I'm wondering, Erica, as executive director of the Guadalupe Nipomo Dune Center, are these the first impressions you usually hear from people visiting the center?
Yes, thank you, Murta. Or Lata, I'm sorry. People are, even local people, when they visit the Dune Center, say, I had no idea. This is wonderful. There's so much to learn here. This is just great. And that is the first impression that we get a lot of times.
Any other first impressions or reactions?
Mostly they're just blown away by the information that they can glean. One of the things people visit from all over the world to find out about are the Cecil B. DeMille film artifacts that are in our museum because they are from 1923. And they are the only remaining silent movie film artifacts in existence today. It was quite a big deal when they were uncovered in the about 2011. So it made international news, and people are still very excited about it.
And they're stunning pieces of work. And to come in there and see this huge Sphinx and...
Yeah.
All these artifacts. It's just amazing.
It's pretty exciting. Yeah.
Yeah, they're colossal.
Mm-hmm.
So, listeners, you just heard from Erica Weber, who is the executive director at Guadalupe Nipomo Dune Center, and also film producer Melanie Backer, who will speak later about how she got involved with the Guadalupe Nipomo Dune Center. And our third guest here with me today is Coastal Stories documentarian Chachi Ramirez, who will also talk about his involvement with Guadalupe Nipomo Dune Center.
Thank you very much.
So actually, that's a good segue to my next question, which is, how did each of you first learn about the Guadalupe Nipomo Dune Center?
I'll go first. It's easy. We were talking off air about I've been in the Santa Maria Valley and Central Coast for my entire life. I was working at a nonprofit in Santa Maria when that position was eliminated, and a good friend of mine was looking for an executive director. She was on the board of the Dune Center and knew the work that I had done at the other nonprofit and asked me to apply for the position. So I did. And of course, being local to the area and having grown up here and played in the dunes, it was kind of like, oh boy, I get to go, back to my childhood in a way. It was just after recovering from COVID, so the doors weren't even open yet. And the one staff person there, I said, well, let's just open the doors when we're here. And if people come in, we'll give them a tour. And that's kind of how I came to be at the Dune Center and have grown to love it more and more each day.
Thank you, Erica. So that was 2023?
Two. 2022. And yeah.
And so you've been executive director for 4 years?
Almost. Yeah.
Yeah. How about you, Chachi? How did you first learn about the Guadalupe Nipomo Dune Center?
It's such a good question. And I just realized, you know, when I lived in L.A., I'm a career filmmaker that spent 20 years in Los Angeles working there. And when the national news happened about finding and excavating, I actually heard about it. I got an article, like, sent to me by some friends while I lived in Santa Monica. And I thought it was so cool. I was, like, fascinated. So when we decided to move to the Central Coast, we moved to Nipomo 3 months before COVID. And my neighbor kept telling me to go to Guadalupe. You got to go to Guadalupe. So I drove down, and that's when I, you know, over the next kind of 6 months, realized that the Dune Center was in charge of this whole project and the dig, and that it was like preserving the history of DeMille's set. And so I was interested in the Royal Theater when I was involved in the redevelopment of the Royal Theater. And so that's how the Dune Center and the Royal Theater, and we all kind of, you know, we're all advocating for the community. And so that's kind of how I got to become close with the Dune Center. And like, you know, going back to your other question, when I first walked in there, also just like so impressed. It is a fabulous way of experiencing the history of the dunes and to consume, you know, information about it and to just see how impressive it is.
I mean, the pieces from Cecil D.
DeMille.
Seeing those pieces, I mean, I can't think there's anything else like that. Those are one-of-a-kind pieces. Yes.
Yeah.
And there's more in the dunes. There's still more.
Right.
That haven't been excavated.
Correct.
Yet.
Yeah, the sand's kind of, they're buried in the sand.
Correct.
Wow.
We do have a... We're hoping to find someone that might want to fund another excavation because it's quite expensive.
And it's complicated.
It's
a complicated process.
It's very complicated. It requires archaeologists and Chumash monitors and lots of permits. And there's just
moving parts to get in there.
Mm-hmm.
So interesting. Yeah. Melanie, how did you first learn about
the
Dune
Center? Well, it's very funny. My Scottish hairdresser in Los Angeles told me she watched Huell Hauser all the time. He has done 3 episodes on the Guadalupe Nipomo Dunes and Guadalupe, the town. So I always remembered that. And she said, yes, I've been to the Dune Center. I've been to the beach, and you know, DeMille buried his 1923 set, and I go, what, are you crazy? And so I always remembered it. And when I wanted to get out of Los Angeles, December of 2019, I put in Guadalupe because I wanted to move near the coast. And they were building new homes, so I drove up there in December and went to the Dune Center first. Then went to the beach, and I said, I'm going to buy a home here because I ride my bike to the dunes all the time.
And this was when?
2019, and I put money down on my house February 2020, right before COVID, and they built my house during COVID.
Wow.
And then I moved in September 2020.
Yeah.
Wow. Great timing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I love positive stories from the time of the pandemic.
It was the best
right?
thing I ever did.
Yeah.
Best thing I ever did.
Yeah.
Wonderful. And so how did each of you learn about the actual Dune Center? Like, was that just part and parcel of learning about Guadalupe?
Well, my hairdresser raved about it, so I
went. Oh, the actual center. Oh,
the actual Dune Center, because she went there too, and I went. It was December 2019, and saw the colossal Sphinx and all these other artifacts, and then you have a whole list in the Dune Center of all the other movies that were made there. I mean, the Paramount made them from, what, the Sheik, 1921 through like the 30s.
And yeah, a very popular filming location for Hollywood for a long time.
Yeah.
Even recently, F1 with Brad Pitt was partially filmed in the dunes, in the Guadalupe Dunes.
Yeah, the end of F1 is the Central Coast. It's
The Dune Center was found, well, it was an offshoot of the Nature Conservancy, who was in the area to help make that part, that section of the dunes a preserve. So it's an 18-mile span of dunes, and about half of it to the south is a preserve. The half to the north is still open to off-road vehicles and that sort of thing, camping. But the Nature Conservancy was there for the preservation piece, and they are the ones that inspired and helped start the Dune Center, primarily as a tourist center. So when people came to Guadalupe or, you know, doing the Highway 1, historic Highway 1 trail, they could stop in and find out about the dunes and learn about the, you know, the history and the ecosystem and the plants and animals that exist there, some of which are the only place in the world they exist. So from that, the Dune Center grew from just being kind of a nature-based tourist center to what it is today, which is a real, you know, world-class museum, small but mighty. I like to say we're small with a big vision, because much of what we do now, it goes outside of our museum. We take a lot of educational, STEM education into the classrooms, and we take kids out on field trips. We learned that over half the kids in Guadalupe have never been to the beach. For whatever reason, whether it be economic or just whatever their family situation is, they don't get to get outside. So the Dune Center makes sure that every kid in Guadalupe gets a chance to go to Oso Flaco. Now we're going to Hollister Ranch to the tide pool schools there. And we have a hike club for after-school kids every Wednesday, where we take kids somewhere within a 30-mile radius of Guadalupe. So they could go to Nahui Falls, they could go to Lopez Lake, and they just go out in nature and hike the trails. And it's really kind of cool. When we first started, there was a 6-year-old that ran back to his teacher and looked up at her and said, "This is heaven." Aww. And it just brings into perspective and reminds us that kids don't get to get outside and enjoy nature the way I did as a kid. So I think the work we're doing is really important.
I think so, too, and I really appreciate you sharing that, Erica, because I was wondering how many of students in Guadalupe, young people growing up in Guadalupe, or even older residents, know all of this history that you're sharing here.
Mm-hmm.
Not just know about the dunes, but the actual history of the dunes, these films which are now made almost 100 years ago. Do students or others growing up in Guadalupe, is this just part of their education?
I wouldn't say it's part of their education typically, but in as much as we make it part of their education. So by having a presence in their after-school programs, when we have the funding to offer these classes for free, we teach the entire sixth grade class. So we do a 6 to 8 week program that involves, you know, watersheds, which is very important to this area. We teach about ecosystems, we teach about pollution mitigation and that sort of thing. And then encompassed with that curriculum, that's when we take them also out on field trips and we tie it all together for them so that they can see the impact that what pollution does in nature and what climate change is doing and why protecting the dunes is important, because as sea levels rise, those dunes are going to keep their town from being flooded. So it's all – we try to tie it all together for them so they're actually learning science by accident where – I mean, they're – and they're getting some engineering classes. We make it fun, and we make it age appropriate. So we have different curriculum for different ages, but –
Yeah, they're really learning the interconnectedness of everything.
Mm-hmm. And I think hopefully they're taking it home and sharing it with their siblings and their parents as well. And we don't just take classes to kids in Guadalupe. We serve the entire Santa Maria Valley and southern San Luis Obispo County, so Grover Beach, primarily Title I schools.
Mm-hmm. I'm Lotta Murti with you for Central Coast Voices on KCBX, your Central Coast listener-supported radio station. My guests today are Erica Weber, Executive Director of Guadalupe Nipomo Dune Center, Chachi Ramirez, Coastal Stories documentarian, and Melanie Backer, film producer. And we are talking about both the Guadalupe Nipomo Dunes and the Dune Center. Listeners, have you visited the Dunes or the Dune Center? Tell us about your experience. Call 805-781-3875, and you can be on air with today's guests. You can also email us at voices@kcbx.org. So tell us about your current – you've already been talking some about this with the hiking club, but are there other current or upcoming projects and events our listeners can look forward to?
Yes. This coming Saturday, we have a fundraiser at the River Bench Winery for K-12 STEM education at the Dunes Center. And it's from 5 to 8. And
it's wine tasting and trivia. It's a very low-key, just come out, drink some wine, win some raffle prizes, and maybe a trivia contest. And special treat, our MC for the trivia contest is none other than Chachi's wife, Mira.
Mira Baylor Ramirez will be having fun with some trivia.
Yeah. So it'll be a fun night out at River Bench Winery. That's coming up.
And we also have our gala, that's July 18th. Mm-hmm. And what's the theme this year?
I really love this. The theme this year is a You Can't Wear It Anywhere Else gala. So this means you dust off the old band uniform or get out your grandpa's kilt or wear that wedding dress you only thought you'd wear once and come to the Edwards Barn in Nipomo to raise some money for STEM education through the Dune Center.
It sounds like fun.
Yeah, it will be fun.
It's always really fun.
Yeah, we have a good time. I'm of the attitude if you have to do something, you might as well make it fun while you're doing it. So that's additionally, and then on the more serious side, upcoming projects. Well, we're hopefully going to be doing some summer programming for Boys and Girls Club, United Way, and Nipomo Rec. So that's on the programming side of things. And we just wrapped up that Coastal Stories project. So
that was a big one.
Yeah, that was a big one. So we're always got our eye out for other ways that we can help either support our local community or do some good in our local environment.
And the Dune Center has incredible hikes for people of all ages. I've gone on a lot of them. And we've gone to the Mitten.
The Shell Mitten?
Yes, yeah. Out in the dunes. And our guide really explains all about the Chumash. And it's wonderful.
Right. We have wonderful docents that lead community hikes every month. And we go into the wildlife refuge. We go to Los Oso Flaco. My docent just told me he has a new hike to a new Coreopsis Hill where in a different location that he's excited to explore. We also go to Rancho Guadalupe Beach. So, and that's something that the community can do on a Saturday morning. We get out in nature, and we always have a trained docent for you to answer your questions about the plants and animals. Actually, on Sunday, if anyone's interested, we're doing a community trip to Hollister Ranch for the Tide Pool School. It is free to anyone that wants to join us. We're going to shuttle you down there, and so it won't cost you anything to go and learn about the tide pools at Hollister Ranch, which you can't get there otherwise. Well, you can walk there from Gaviota State Beach, but only at low tide.
This is exciting. Mm-hmm. So actually, tell our listeners where the center is located, where they can find it.
Well, it's right at 1065 Guadalupe Street. So if you're coming from the north and you're southbound on Highway 1, as you come into Guadalupe, that first stop sign is 11th Street. When you cross through that stop sign, that intersection, we are the third house on the right, a little blue house, and hopefully the sign will be out front to greet you.
Wonderful. And how do you actually get to the dunes?
There's a couple ways to get to the dunes.
Well, you go down, it's Guadalupe Street, but it's also Highway 1, which I think is so phenomenal. You have a town on Highway 1. You go south to 166, where the cemetery is. And I must say, the cemetery is very interesting to walk through because there are people from the 1860s. It's very much a melting pot, Guadalupe. But you get to the cemetery, you make a right on 166, and you just keep on going to the beach.
Yeah. That's where 166 ends. You know, you can.
Yes.
It's
yeah.
Like that. It dead ends at the water.
It's Main. So. Yeah, West Main Street, and it's about 4.5 miles mm-hmm. On Main Street. You will come to a kiosk because you're entering a county park. So after you get past all the private land, you'll go on to county
property. It's so cool. You're driving in like ag. You know, there's just ag everywhere you can see.
Uh-huh.
And then you come to the ranger station. And about within a minute of driving into the ranger station, you're just in another place.
Yeah.
It's so cool.
You're driving right through the dunes.
Mm-hmm. It's such a fascinating
There is a small parking lot at the end of the road, so you can park your car and get out.
It's a great surf spot, too, if you know how to surf.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And fishing.
World-class surfing.
But just be careful in the water, because the water is pretty aggressive to non-swimmers.
Right. Even to swimmers, it can be dangerous.
Yeah.
There's another way to get to the dunes, too, and that's through Oso Flaco. So in that case, again, traveling south on Highway 1, you would turn right on Oso Flaco Road. Follow that road for 3 miles, and you'll come to a parking lot and that's a state park. So that's Oso Flaco State Park. You can park there, and then you walk about a mile and a half trail, which is all on boardwalk. So it'll take you over the lake, over Oso Flaco Lake, and through the dunes all the way to the beach. And you'll get to see, you know, you'll be walking all the way through the four dunes, you know, the shrubs and the four dunes.
It's a treasure. That walk is
it's beautiful. And there's,
if you ever recommend it, they always come back saying
it is a sanctuary for many rare, you know, many birds that migrate there. So if you're a nature lover, there's plenty to see.
And the dunes then span two counties. They're over. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, this dunes complex spans two counties, from Point Sal to the south all the way to Pismo to the north. Mm. Mm-hmm, 22,000 acres. It is the largest coastal dunes complex in North America.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's now captured in Coastal Stories, the documentary.
That's right.
Can you tell us more about that, Chachi?
Sure, yeah. The Coastal Stories, it's a grant, right, Erica?
Uh-huh.
And there was a mural and a film that were attached to the grant. So Colleen Ganos did a mural in town, which is really beautiful. Where's the mural?
The mural is on West Main Street, just east of the corner of Jack O'Connell Park. So the cross street there is Calle Cesar Chavez.
For now.
And I have to mention that the Coastal Conservancy, State of California Coastal Conservancy, is the agency that funded this project. and it was a big project. And Chachi will tell
yeah, it
you
was
more.
It was a multi-year project, and Colleen and I got to work together. We kind of shared homework a little bit, and I helped with – she would review video that I would shoot, interviews for people who were out on the dunes. It was a multi-year film for me, and it covers – 5,000 years, at least the last 15,000 years, I guess, of the dunes. So when the Chumash inhabited the land, what were their lives like? You know, when we go through these chapters of the film, we would focus and try to find interviewees who could speak on these times. And so it's the story of the dunes from like a geological perspective, but it's also a story of the people in the dunes. And so we were very lucky to be funded by the Coastal Conservancy to be able to actually kind of dig our heels in a little bit, do some history, do some research, film the dunes over the multiple years, and also tell this story. And I'm so proud of the way it came together. We got to speak with so many people who have great stories. There's so much history in the dunes. There's so much, you know, providing livelihood for people, to now it being kind of a place of tranquility. Personally, for me, it was a gift because I got to be at the dunes so much and really immerse myself in being with the dunes, which, you know, now when I talk to people about visiting the Guadalupe Napoma dunes, I'm like a big advocate for, like, if you have 4 hours in your day, you can find 4 hours where you can go be alone and explore these dunes. It is an experience that you will walk away from with. It's magical. You're connected to something there. You kind of forget, you know, put your phone on, do not disturb, and go look at what's going on out there. The ecosystem is incredible. It's like Earth, you know, doing its thing, and it's beautiful to see. And for me to get to tell this story, because I am a big fan of Guadalupe, its history, and the dunes, not to mention being a career filmmaker, I love the DeMille history and kind of think Guadalupe has a lot of special things going on. So, yeah, that's kind of how I got involved and how we ended up where we are.
The project mainly was to kind of tell the story of the unheard voices of Guadalupe. So, like Chachi said, from the first people, the indigenous people, all the way through modern times, who were those people of color that don't get represented enough, that can talk to us about what their connection to the dunes has been over these many thousands of years? Because it's interesting, you know, Melanie said, if you look at the cemetery, it's quite a melting pot. So, you know, the first people were Spanish explorers that stopped here, and then the Leroy brothers that, you know.
There's Swiss Italians, there's Japanese, there's Chinese and
Filipino and Portuguese, and, you know, the list
Mexican,
just goes on. Yeah, and the Hispanic and the migrant farm workers. And,
yes.
Yeah. And like Chachi was saying about the tranquility, he had an opportunity to interview some of the farm workers that, you know, that are in the fields today, still picking, you know, strawberries. And they all say how wonderful it is to have those dunes as a place they can go. It doesn't cost a lot of money. They can take the whole family. They can go out there and put the day's work behind them and just be in this beautiful, tranquil place where they can connect to nature and just relax.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of relax, we are going to take a short break to hear from our studio. Over to you, Brad.
I'm Maria Hinojosa, this week on Latino USA. I speak with iconic feminist, organizer, and a leader in the American labor movement, Dolores Huerta. It's the first interview she gave after the New York Times revealed the sexual assault allegations against Cesar Chavez. That's this week on Latino USA.
On the next Fresh Air, America's first AI war is unfolding right now in the war with Iran. The secretive campaign to build America's AI warfare capabilities is the Pentagon's Project Maven. Our guest will be Bloomberg reporter Katrina Manson, author of a new book about that project and the obsessive Marine colonel behind it. Join us.
There are a lot of things in the economic world right now that are changing, like the tax code.
We can't solve our problems with a tax cut. We need to solve it with a tax reform.
It has to be a win-win-win-win-win, and that is very hard to achieve with tax policy.
This happens once in a generation.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. We'll guide you through it next time on Marketplace.
That's a look ahead on our Thursday here on KCBX. Latino USA follows this program this afternoon from 2 till 3. It's Fresh Air then from 3 till 4 and then Marketplace at 4. Right now, let's return to Lotta Murty and her guests on Central Coast Voices. And man, I'm thinking about going out to the dunes. Back to you, Lotta.
I'm thinking about returning to the dunes. Thanks, Brad. Welcome back to Central Coast Voices. I am talking to Erica Weber, Executive Director of the Guadalupe Nipomo Dune Center, also Chachi Ramirez, Coastal Stories documentarian, and Melanie Backer, film producer. And we have been talking about the Guadalupe Nipomo Dunes, the Guadalupe Nipomo Dune Center, and the impact both have had on the Central Coast community at large. Listeners, call 805-781-3875 to ask questions about the Dunes and Dune Center or to share your experiences at the Guadalupe Nipomo Dunes. Or you can email your questions to voices@kcbx.org and we will get them on the air. So you've been talking about the center and all these wonderful projects. How can our listeners support these? How can they get involved besides visiting the center and the dunes? What else can they do?
There are lots of easy ways to support the Dune Center. One of the easiest ways is to become a member, and you can go to our website at dunecenter.org. There's a big old button that says membership or become a member, and for just $10 a month, you know, you can click it and forget it, and that really goes a long way to help with our programs and our operational costs. The other way to get involved is become a volunteer. I mean, if you love museums or you love history, you could, you know, be a docent in our museum. We'd love to have you. Or if you love the nature or think you love nature, come go on a couple hikes with us and see if it's something that you'd like to end up doing yourself, leading a group of 10 or 15 people on a nature hike. So volunteering is another great way to support the Dune Center. And then, of course, participating in our fundraisers. So, I mean, it's all about, like I think I mentioned earlier, that we do try to get grant funding for a lot of our educational programs. Over the last couple of years, that has been a little bit challenging because a lot of the federal grants that we relied on went away suddenly. But we didn't lose hope. We pivoted, and we're looking for other opportunities for grant funding to continue that educational programming. And beyond that, then we do our fundraisers every year so that we can get local support. So if you can be a sponsor to one of our gala or a golf tournament we do in October, sponsorship or just attendance, just participation is another great way to support the Dune Center.
Wonderful. And is all of this on your website?
All of it's on our website. So the upcoming events, so the wine tasting event is up there now. As soon as that's over with, the gala will be posted. And so you can get tickets or sponsor our July gala, which will be a lot of fun this year. And, you know, and volunteering, yeah, there's you can just email outreach@dunecenter.org. And my outreach coordinator will happily get you connected and find ways for you. I mean, if you love to garden, we have a native garden that surrounds our building. And we have a wonderful docent that comes once a week and tends that garden. And you could certainly, she would love your help. So
yeah, and it's a great way to spend the day, too, in Guadalupe. Like, you could start at the Dune Center and walk and have a meal. And it's a great way to spend half a day.
Great. Come tend the garden for a couple hours and then go to El Tapatio for lunch.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Give us the physical address again, but also the website address and any social media handles you have.
Okay. So it's 1065 Guadalupe Street in Guadalupe. And our website is dunecenter.org. So just www.dunecenter.org. We are on Instagram and Facebook, mostly Instagram, I would say, would be the best way to find us. And we also have a newsletter. So if you go to our website, become a member, you will automatically begin receiving our monthly newsletter, which will give you all the upcoming events. It'll tell you about all the education programs that we've been doing, all the community hikes that we've been doing. It'll give you all the latest news.
So dunecenter.org.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Melanie, you've been wanting to add something.
It's just it's a great website. It's a great website. And it's getting out in nature and meeting new people. I've really enjoyed these outside hikes with these really incredible docents. And we went to the Mitten, and I brought all my some girlfriends from the Santa Maria YMCA.
It's Midden, M-I-D-D-E-N.
Uh-huh.
And for those of you that don't know, a shell midden is left over from the Chumash. So when the Chumash had their village, they ate a lot of shellfish. And they would pile these shells in a pile somewhere away from the village so that predators wouldn't bother them. And over thousands of years, these piles of shells grew and grew, and they are still evident today in a couple of places in the dunes. And it's called a shell midden. So, you know, scientists love it because you can carbon date it and find out what was going on 10,000 years ago. But it's just a really interesting connection that we still have with the Chumash people.
Wow. And the docent gives an incredible tour. And I brought some friends who hadn't, you know, who live in Orcutt or Santa Maria, and they hadn't been to the dunes in like 10 years or 15 years. And it was just so peaceful, as Chachi says. I go out at least three times a week. I mean, I live right there, but I go out. But I really, for getting community and meeting new people, join the Dunes Center.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wonderful thing to do.
Yeah. So Chachi was saying earlier to go alone, but it sounds like it could be a very social experience.
Yeah, for me, I was alone because I was filming. So I would go out and spend like 4 or 5 hours with a long lens camera.
Yeah.
And my reception wasn't so good. So I was having all these like adventures in my mind. I hadn't had like kind of like a quiet like space to be alone and try to like film, you know, birds,
yeah.
Which was awesome.
Well, I do some of that too. Just go out on your own and think. But it's also really fun to go with people and then try and hike up the dunes, the actual dunes. That's a fantastic workout.
There is so much adventure in the dunes. Like, you could go 100 times and have 100 unique experiences.
Right. And I think what Melanie was alluding to is that one of our docents, Ray, who is native, he grew up in the dunes. I mean, he grew up in Guadalupe, and that was his playground. That was his backyard. So he knows those dunes like the back of his hand, and he knows all the hidden spots. And he also is a history buff. So he has collected over the years photographs and information about, you know, people there and plants there, and you know, so he's just a wealth of information. And so especially when we go to the shell midden, because of his own native heritage, you know, he talks about, you know, he gives a lesson basically about the traditions and the habits of the Chumash while they lived there, because they used all the resources of the dunes, plants for medicine, for building their huts, and the animals for skins and for food. So
going with Ray is, I would say, a like top experience too, because he shares so much with you. When he and I, he's in the documentary, and when we filmed together, I was taken away with something. He was able to make me feel something.
Mm-hmm.
And so if anyone wants to experience this, go with Ray. He's, you know, two thumbs up for the experience and the education.
We have a caller who may want to go with Ray. but Bill is calling from Grover Beach to ask about accessibility with the dunes. Hi, Bill. You're on the air.
I just wanted to mention that the Osos Huaco Trail is totally wheelchair accessible, and you can get almost all the way to the beach on it.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. And the other thing I wanted to ask was, do you have any displays at the museum about the history of Southern Pacific Railroad and the contribution it made to the town of Guadalupe and the produce industry?
Good question. Thanks, Bill. We don't have any displays specifically to the railroad, but we do talk about it and its importance in the Guadalupe community. It's on our timeline, and we talk about the influence that the railroad had in Guadalupe in particular.
Yeah, when I worked for Southern Pacific, we shipped up to 30 or 40 refrigerated cars out of there at the height of the celery and lettuce season. And it's all been taken over by trucks now. But at the time, we had two jobs that collected cars from Oceano and from surrounding areas and all the packing sheds in the Guadalupe area. And there were at least two jobs that were devoted just to the refrigerated car business.
Mm-hmm.
And there was even a train called the SMV, the Santa Maria Valley Railroad, Smoky Valley, we called it, that distributed these cars all over the United States.
Yeah. Yeah, we have quite a huge influence, because prior to that, all of the import-export happened by horse and buggy up over the hill to Point Sal. There was a pier there, and don't know how many know, but it's about a 13-mile round trip up and over a Rocky Mountain to get to the pier at Point Sal. So when the rail came through, that just really changed things for Guadalupe, and the town boomed because of the ability to import and export produce and goods by rail.
Yeah, not to mention the Union Ice plant that made enough ice to ice those cars.
Yeah, exactly.
Back in the old days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, well, anyway, just wanted to add that.
Good history. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, sure. Thanks so much. Take care, Bill.
Bye.
Bye. All right, so Bill called in and told us that there is an accessible trail right on the Oso Flaco.
That's from Oso Flaco, because as I mentioned, you're on a boardwalk the entire time from the parking lot all the way to the beach. So there does come a point where it gets pretty sandy, and you're not going to be able to get all the way down on the beach unless you have the nature tracks for your wheelchair. But you can go most of the way.
You can end up at a lookout where you'll get a nice view.
You can end up at the lookout and see all the way up the coast to Avila.
And the center itself is accessible?
Oh, the center itself is accessible, definitely. We have wheelchair accessibility.
Very good.
Mm-hmm.
Melanie, you want to
add something? Well, if for accessibility, if you go just because – going in Guadalupe to the Guadalupe Nipomo Preserve, just driving through there, it's like otherworldly. It almost looks like the moon. And you've got a parking lot, so people can get out. And you can go that way too.
Yeah, that's at Rancho Guadalupe, that end of West Main Street or 166 that we talked about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think otherworldly.
It is.
It's a good description. Yes. So tell us what's coming up for the Dunes, the Dune Center. Has the documentary been released?
You know, the documentary is 5 chapters, and they've been, you know, we have each chapter available now in Guadalupe. If you can go QR code while you're in Guadalupe, each chapter of the film. So I think there's 6 different chapters that you can watch. Mm-hmm. And the film is available. We'll be doing film festivals, and we'll be submitting and exhibiting the film
over the next year. But currently, yes, it's available. And I would encourage people, if they have the chance, to watch it.
You can watch it on a website called CoastalStoriesGuadalupe.org. And that is kind of the culmination of the whole project that we did. It talks about the different, like Chachi said, there are different chapters. And so in six of the parks in Guadalupe, we have an interpretive sign with a QR code that will take you to that specific chapter of the documentary. And so you can do it that way, or you can just go to the website, CoastalStoriesGuadalupe.org, and you can see the film in its entirety. You'll also be able to learn about the mural. And I want to mention that this film is translated in both Spanish and Mixteco, because, as I said before, we wanted to tell the story of the less heard voices, and we want to make sure that it's accessible to them as well. So given some additional funding, we may be able to get it done in Japanese in the future. But for now, it's in English, Spanish, and Mixteco.
Wonderful. Very inclusive. Mm-hmm. This is Lotta Murti with you for Central Coast Voices on KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, your listener-supported radio station. If you recently joined us for today's show and want to listen to the entire broadcast, you can. It's available on our website at www.kcbx.org under the On Demand tab. Click on Central Coast Voices and you will find this show and many others to choose from. And there's still time for your emailed questions about Guadalupe Nipomo Dunes and the Guadalupe Nipomo Dunes Center. Please send them to voices@kcbx.org and we will get them on the air. My guests for today's show are Erica Weber, Executive Director of Guadalupe Nipomo Dunes Center, Chachi Ramirez, Coastal Stories documentarian, and Melanie Backer, film producer. And we are talking about the Guadalupe Nipomo Dunes, the Dunes Center, and how both have touched so many people and lives on California's Central Coast and beyond. And actually, I want to talk some more about that and beyond. Since you mentioned that the Coastal Stories documentary will possibly also be translated into Japanese. So this documentary is going to reach audiences well beyond the Central Coast. Right, Chachi?
I think so, yeah. Yeah. It's 24 minutes long, and after the watch, I think you get a very good whole, like, rounded view of the dunes in Guadalupe and its people. And we've had a small screening where we show some of the community in Guadalupe, the Guadsters, the film, and they learned so much. They don't realize how much history is there. And I didn't either until I made the film, until we really got to dig in and talk to everyone and see the imagery and hear the stories and realize, you know, there's people still fishing out there, taking home fish for meals. It's a resource to a lot of different people, whether it's for tranquility or actually for just sustenance. And so it's just worth an exploration if you're, you know, ready to go have an experience out in the dunes and see something really unique.
Mm-hmm. The Guadsters.
That's right. Guad.
Is that an official title?
It is. And Guad we trust. We're all fans of Guadalupe.
The Guadsters.
I will interject. The Dune Center is open Tuesday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. So if you want to just make a day of it, you can stop by the Dune Center, pick up a pamphlet. We've got information about the flora and fauna. You can check out the museum and then head out to the beach and spend some time in the dunes.
And you have visitors from around the world, yes?
Yes, we do. In fact, most of our visitors are from out of the area. They're traveling and they're staying in Pismo. They're looking for something to do and they find the Dune Center and they come by. And of course, as we mentioned earlier, when that story broke about the movie set being uncovered in the dunes, it made international news. And we still to this day have people that will travel from other countries just to see it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Disney did a segment on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's been out. It's pretty high profile as far as being a historical Hollywood.
Yeah, especially movie buffs, really, and history buffs.
We had
really
the 100-year celebration of the DeMille film, I think it was 2 years ago.
Yeah, in 2023.
In 2023, we had a big celebration for the 100 years.
A weekend-long celebration that involved a film festival and kind of an all-day thing. And we actually even took people on tours out to the dig site, which you can't access now without knowing.
Special access.
Without special access. Good reason to know the Dune Center.
Good reason. And then you had the archaeologist come out and give the tours and talk about everything.
Yeah.
It was fascinating.
There's a film online, too, about the excavation, the original dig that produced these artifacts from the set. And so that's available online to watch and really interesting.
Mm-hmm. It's called The Lost City.
The Lost City.
Of Cecil B. DeMille.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
So give us the address again of the Dune Center.
1065 Guadalupe Street in Guadalupe, or visit our website at dunecenter.org.
I have a question for the panel, if I could interject.
Yes, of course, Brad.
You know, we're talking about the DeMille artifacts, I think is one way to put them. What's the current state of those artifacts that we can see? What kind of condition are they in right now? And are there plans? I know you're looking for funding to hopefully excavate them. Are there plans to look for people to help restore or at least preserve them beyond their current lifespan?
Absolutely. You know, it's interesting. There are some pieces of the set that are exposed currently, and the dunes change all the time, depending on the weather and the wind and that sort of thing. So sometimes they're covered up, sometimes they're not. Last time we were out there, which was in late January, there are several pieces of the facade, or what was meant to be Ramses' temple, that are exposed. And we can see some of the soldiers that were a bas-relief on that temple that have made their way to the surface. So we know there are pieces that can be recovered and restored, that, you know, important pieces. And then the archaeologists believe that there are still sphinxes enough intact that they could be recovered as well. There were 21 sphinxes to begin with, all about 5 tons. Yeah. About 4,000 pounds each. How many tons is that?
2 tons each.
Yeah, 2 tons each. Yes. And a couple of them got moved from the site before DeMille had a chance to cover them, because there were 2 sphinxes at the entrance of the Santa Maria Golf Course, or Santa Maria Country Club as we know it today. And there were also 2 that made their way to a farmer's field. So somehow they got them out of there before Sphinx DeMille buried them. But we know in the case of the facade, or that wall that was meant to look like Ramses' temple, he knocked that over, so it kind of just fell in place. But for the sphinxes, he had someone come and dig trenches and push them in. So they're a little deeper underground. Yes, there is still, I believe, artifacts to be uncovered, because we only have 2 sphinxes in our museum. And that means there's probably about 16 more still out there. So there's, yeah, and last time we were out there, I found some beading that would have been part of the costumes, also some, like a part of a perfume bottle, and an 1893 dime.
Wow.
Mercury had dime. So fun stuff, yeah.
Brad, are you going to get out there and dig?
No, I'm not going to get out there and dig, but I will follow it closely as a fan of movies and movie historia like that. I've been fascinated by the story of those buildings out there for years, and I've been waiting for hopefully a time when they'll get the proper respect and treatment that they deserve.
Right.
You know?
Well, we only need about $250,000 to do a dig, and then a place to house those artifacts, because our little Dune Center is just a small space, and to give them the respect that they deserve, we need another space to display them.
Well, thank you for allowing me to interject my question this afternoon. I don't normally do that, but it occurred to me that I needed to get it answered. So thank you.
Have you been to the Dune Center,
Bill? I have not. I have not.
Oh, my goodness.
Been out there. And, you know, I live in Napomo, so I just need to make the drive.
Come on
right
now.
No excuse. All right. We'll see you soon.
Well, I'll be down there. You wait. When you see me, you'll know.
I'll recognize you.
All right. Thank you, Brad. Thank you to our guests. But we have a few more minutes left. And so your challenge is to tell me and our listeners very briefly, how have the Dunes or the Dune Center changed your life?
You want me to go first?
Sure.
I kind of went into it a little bit. But I think my appreciation for the ecosystem that it is and for, you know, the idea that the dunes are made up of rocks that are eroded over time by the Santa Maria River, or just the fact that the Santa Maria River ends in an estuary at the end of the dunes, and that, you know, that's kind of fascinating in itself. So it's opened my eyes a lot to nature, and I think that I'm more appreciative of our beach and its ecosystem now after making the film.
Yeah. Oh, it's changed my life. I mean, it's given me so much peace and serenity, and being outside in nature in Los Angeles, it was way too much in my car, and I'm outside all the time as much as I can because of that beach, and the Dune Center brings me community.
And for me, it brought me right back to my childhood and got me out of that, you know, go, 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 you know, have to be productive every minute of every day mode that I was in, and to a place where I'm like, okay, let me just shift my priorities. Yes, there's work that has to be done, but there's also time to just get out and breathe fresh air and enjoy the beauty and nature that's all around us, because that's, I think we take for granted this beautiful place that we live in, and I don't want to lose sight of that. So that's how it's changed me.
On that lovely note, I want to thank today's guests, Erica Weber, Executive Director of Guadalupe Napomo Dune Center, Chachi Ramirez, Coastal Stories Documentarian, and film producer Melanie Backer. We have been talking about the Guadalupe Napomo Dunes, the Dune Center at dunecenter.org, and the history of both the center and the dunes, as well as what's coming up. Next week, Thursday, April 2nd, from 1 to 2 p.m., join Dr. Mario Espinosa-Kulik as he talks to Emma Vega from the Santa Barbara County Organizers for Californians for Pesticide Reform. Central Coast Voices is produced with the support of KCBX Public Radio.